Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Beyond and hello and welcome once again to IGN's weekly PlayStation Show, episode 827, I guess. I'm your host, Max Scoville, and I'm joined this week by my good pals, Jada Griffin and Tom Marks. Welcome, everybody.
Hello.
Now, there's a lot to talk about, specifically Grand Theft Auto 6, which had a big, huge, massive, leaky reveal. Tom, you also checked out The Last of Us Part 2's upcoming, like, roguelike, no return mode. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. Before we get into that and talk about GTA, I want to plug the Humble Bundle Bundle of the Year event that's going on right now. Basically, they are the best of Humble Bundle starting on December 8th and going, I think, basically through the end of the year. Every 48 hours, they're going to be swapping out a new Humble Bundle that will be available for that short amount of time. They got a bunch of different kind of various, versions going on. There's, unparalleled puzzlers, must-play Metroidvanias, scary games to play in the dark, in-your-face VR, stuff like that, and it's great deals on a bunch of awesome games, such as, Hollow Knight, High on Life, Back for Blood, Control, Ultimate Edition. You can find all that over on humblebundle.com. But now, without further ado, let's talk a little bit about Grand Theft Auto 6. So there's some stuff to talk about. There's a few. Well, there's really one big thing that happened. The GTA 6 trailer dropped. That's like the biggest gaming news probably maybe this year. I mean, at least since Rockstar got hacked and a bunch of GTA footage leaked. Amazingly enough, the trailer itself leaked and Rockstar had to kind of pull the trigger a little bit early. And, it's been an exciting 24 hours. And we're going to talk a bunch about that trailer. And a little bit later, we're going to talk about something a little bit more controlled in its messaging, which is the upcoming Last of Us Part 2 remastered no return roguelike mode, which, Tom, you got a chance to actually play. I want to hear your thoughts on that. But people would be very cross with us if we didn't talk about GTA 6, because it is one of the most hotly anticipated games, period, just ever. Like, it is ridiculously huge, this sort of scale of this game. And let's go into this slowly. Like, Jada, what's your read on this?
I think it looks fantastic. I love the highlight we got on Lucia, our new protagonist, for GTA 6. Like, she looks fantastic. She's a badass looking. She looks like she's calling the shots. Like, I cannot wait to spend time in Leonida, I believe is the state name, is what it's called. I don't even know if that's pronounced right, but yeah, it looks fantastic. The hair, like, physics and all the hairstyles on everybody looks amazing. Like, it just, and the world just looks so lived in. It looks so, like, it's magic what Rockstar has done. Even in this little vertical slice of a trailer, they're showing off just a little bit of the magic that we're going to get in GTA 6. And I can't wait. Like, I'm not the biggest GTA fan. I love GTA. It's a great game. I usually will play it for probably like 3 to 6 months and then I put it down. But I don't know. This one might have more longevity for me. So I'm hoping so.
Tom, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, trailers this early, I'm always very tempered on, I think is the right way to put it. Just because, like, I think this trailer looks amazing. It was a wonderful trailer and really did... it's something to be excited about, right? It is really, really cool. And I agree with everything Jada said. But also, I have been burned by trailers 2 years away from a game that look really good so many times that, like, I don't know if any of this is gameplay or if any of it is, like, you know, like, it's so hard to tell any of that. But I think in terms of the vibe that they sold, It did a great job selling the attitude of the game. It did a great job selling, like, what they're at least trying to do, the target of that. And I think that I am really, it does look very convincing. I just don't know if, like, you know, that's going to translate into gameplay or whatever. We'll have to see, but it's still exciting.
No, I think that is very much worth pointing out that this is a trailer. It is a really, really huge trailer. And it is very quite possibly going to be the trailer for what is possibly one of the biggest games ever, if not the biggest game to date in history, because there's a pretty good precedent here. And I want to talk about that both in terms of trailers and in terms of games, because there's sort of, you know, Rockstar's earned its reputation. Like, this is a studio that has been doing this for 25 years. I think in like a week from now is their birthday. Happy birthday, Rockstar. You're old enough to be legally allowed to play your own games. I don't know why 25. I guess you can get car insurance at 25. That's what you can. You get cheaper rates. You can crash those cars into things. There you go.
You can rent.
You don't have to steal the cars anymore, Rockstar. You can rent them now. Anyway, there's the joke. Boom, ship it. But no, like GTA 5 was the fastest selling entertainment property in history when it came out. I'm not sure if it still has that title, but it hit $800 million monies sold in 24 hours. And it broke a billion in 3 days, I think, if I recall correctly. That was, just over 10 years ago, which is a lot. To date, GTA 5 has sold 190 million copies across all the platforms it has been repeatedly re-released for. So, like, yeah, of course there's hype for this. There's like, they've been stoking the fire, which is really, I think, like a key thing to point out is like, we all get mad about GTA, like online, you know, everyone's like, where's GTA 6? It's been so long. And like online kept getting updates, but it's because of that, that it's managed to snowball into this incredible sort of just, you know, monolithic entity. And I was half expecting them to call this just GTA because like, I don't know. It's earned that at this point. And it's not like, you know, if you go into the store, I guess you could say, let me get GTA. They're like, which one? 5? They don't sell. I mean, whatever. But I want to talk about sort of just how the trailer has been received. We looked at this. So for comparison, the trailer for this as of recording this, I think it like last I checked it, it's at, let me just pull it up.
I think right now we ran a news story on it earlier today, and it's what, bigger than Tears of the Kingdom, Red Dead 2, and something else combined?
Well, no, so the problem with that story when they're writing it is that the number kept jumping while they were writing it. It was getting like 10,000 views a minute or something crazy like that. Currently, as of recording this, it has gotten 82 million views in 20 hours. And compared to, I don't know, Red Dead Redemption 2, the first trailer for that has 23.1 million views since it was first posted. Tears of the Kingdom, 16.1 million views since it was posted. Cyberpunk 2077's first teaser trailer, which was posted 9 months before GTA 5 was released, has 28 million views. And then if you go back and look at the original GTA 5 trailer, the very first one, the sort of the cinematic tone piece, the equivalent to this trailer, that has 98 million views over 12 years. So this managed to do it's probably going to do in 2 days what the first one did in 12 years, which is flabbergasting. That is like an incredible amount of expectation for this. And it's only going to build because it's unfortunately not coming out till 2025. And I don't know. It's exhausting. It's breathtaking. But yeah.
Yeah. The metric I always liked to jokingly use was like, there are popular games, like there are games that are popular within the gaming space, right? That are like the big monolithic games in the gaming space. Mm-hmm. And then there are what I called like McDonald's Cup games, which are like, if your game is mainstream enough that it could be on like a McDonald's Cup or some, you know, then that's like a tier above, and that's like your Call of Duty, right? Is that sort of next tier up of like real mainstream success. This feels like a step above that. This feels enormous. This feels like it's going to be ubiquitous when it comes out. It's going to be, you know, talked about on NPR and it like only a few games a year break out in that sort of way. And this feels like it's going to be just astronomical.
Yeah, it's a lot. Jada, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's just crazy because it's going to be one of those games that everybody's talking about. And we expect that. You expect for big games like this to be the one that everybody's talking about. But like, this is, when I say everybody, you're usually hearing like in your main circles, your main, you know, sometimes a few extended people that you didn't know were into games or playing this. This is going to have everybody, I think. I think everybody is going to be talking about this one, or at least to Tom's point, where it's just, it's going to be like, almost to the point where everybody knows Mario, like where your grandparents know Mario, your grandparents are going to know GTA 6. Like, it's going to be so wild because there's going to be, and the, how much of it is just correlating to real life things that have happened are going to be stories that kind of trend. And I can't wait to see all the other references that Rockstar has included in GTA 6. It's going to be, it's.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's, I say this, you know, to sort of just explain how big and how much hype there is here, but also to sort of, you know, remind people, Tom, like to your point, this is like a, this is the cinematic trailer. If you go back and watch the very first like GTA 5 trailer, it's gorgeous in exactly the same way. And it shows off a lot of the same stuff. You got Michael doing his VO, talking about why did he move to Los Santos. And the game that we got like hit a lot of those beats and it was very similar. But of course, at launch, it didn't look exactly like that. I mean, it was, that was all in engine. It was very close. I think, you know, look, if you look at stuff people have done with like the PC version on mods or the second time they basically remastered it for current gen systems, it's, it looks maybe better than that. But it's still different. Like there's more of like a cinematic approach to it. And even when things are like in cutscenes, there's a different, like it still has like a, Rockstar has like a distinct kind of style to their games. And I feel like Red Dead 2 really kind of pushed how cinematic they could get. But there's still like, you can kind of tell when something is, and it's not it, like it's wrong to be like, oh, it's like a pre-rendered cutscene, because it's not that. It's different. But like there's an extra amount of care going into like capturing specifically this trailer. And we are, I think we're going to get probably in, I mean, if you look at the sort of the track record for, you know, the last two games they put out, you get the big, huge, you know, sort of tone setting piece that's very cinematic. And then we're going to get something that looks much more like actual gameplay moment to moment in, I don't know, 6 months, something like that. Maybe a year, probably a year, actually.
But it's exciting to echo a lot of people's excitement, too, because I don't mean to put a damper on it. Like, it is exciting that this game exists now at all. And it's cool that for the very first time they're revealing it, they are also showing us as much tone as they are here and as much sort of like, we got a little glimpse of the story and it's cool. So like, I'm definitely not trying to tell people not to be excited.
I just don't want, like, I mean, we've gotten burned by stuff and I'm not about to, like, Rockstar has earned the trust, I think, like,
sure.
You know, with occasional missteps, like the, you know, remasters of the old PS2 trilogy. But that's not the case here. Like, this is a new big, you know, prestige, brand new, you know, in-house thing. This is their bread and butter. This is GTA. Like, it's,
yeah,
there's, yes, you should be excited. I'm not questioning that one bit, but I feel like it has been so long since GTA 5 came out that we've kind of forgotten how much can change between entries in the series.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at the difference between GTA 4 and 5, like, we've all gotten used to GTA 5. That's the standard sort of GTA experience, but it's very possible this plays much different. Like, if it feels, I mean, it could be much more akin to the sort of the pace of Red Dead 2. Obviously, a little bit faster pace because it's got monster trucks and TikTok. But like, you know, they're gonna do some stuff. They're gonna throw some curveballs. Like, this isn't gonna be, you know, GTA 5 kicked up a notch. This is gonna be something else. And I'm equal parts excited, but also kind of cautious about that because I don't know. We all love the character switching mechanic between, you know, Michael and Trevor and Franklin and. We've seen leaked footage. It shows you play as both characters, but like, is it going to be dynamic? Is it going to be a thing you can do at any minute whenever you so choose? Or is it going to be like when the story dictates? I mean, how is the story going to play out? It's like, there's so much that we don't know. And
yeah,
I don't know.
I'll say it again. We've been burned so many times, right? That it's not at all a condemnation of this trailer or Rockstar specifically. It's just like, this is the world we live in, is that, you know, we've been burned by these sorts of things a million times.
And I mean, that's the thing, is this is like the most hype we've seen around anything in a video game trailer ever. Basically,
probably, which is crazy to say because Starfield came out this year and was insanely hyped, and Cyberpunk was off the walls in hyped right a few years ago. And I do think that this probably surpasses both of them, like, and I don't know if it's close.
Yeah, no, I don't think it is. I think GTA is eating everybody's lunch with a six period lunch. They decided to come in like, hey, I didn't have lunch earlier. I'm just coming in at the end of the day. I'm just going to have my sandwich here and just chill.
It is like such a rock star. Like, it is a literal rock star move to just come in with this swagger at the tail end of the biggest game in video game history. Like, there's the biggest game, biggest year in video game history. There's so many amazing games that ship this year, and there's so much going on. And we're just on the eve of the Game Awards, which is going to be celebrating all that. And Rockstar just comes in and goes, just right there. Like, oh, here it is. Like, no big deal. Hey. And then just to add insult to injury, or whatever you want to call it, they're just like, and it's not even out next year. It's out the year after that. And they can do that. They have earned that right because they've been doing this for a quarter of a century. And like, I'm not saying don't be excited. Be excited by all means. There's plenty to be excited about. I'm saying maybe don't let that excitement just completely eclipse. You know, just tamp down your own expectations. And worst case scenario,
I will not.
Listen. Always aim low, because then if you succeed, you'll be really proud of yourself or whatever. Like, the same thing with expectations. If you go into this thing being like, I don't know if it's going to top GTA 5, then what if you'll be blown away when it does? You know, I don't know. Like,
I've already seen enough in this trailer to know it's going to blow my expectations from playing GTA 5 to GTA 6. I've already seen enough. I'm super hyped on this. Like I said earlier, I'm not the biggest GTA fan. I think this is the GTA that's going to make me like a lifelong GTA fan and playing it. Like, just every time I see this trailer, I'm seeing something new. I'm spotting little details, little cool things, the diversity of the NPCs. Just like, I don't know if we're going to see NPCs repeating. When I say diversity, I mean like variety of NPCs. I don't think we're going to see like what we're used to in GTA 4 and 5. Obviously, there will probably be some repeats, but I think it's going to be so few and far between that it's going to feel like a real world kind of place.
Don't look at the details too closely, because you got to make this trailer last another year, because they're not going to put out another one until then, probably.
I'll watch it once a day, every day. Until it releases. And that's just,
you know, full well, there's a lot of people who are doing exactly that.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Until they announce that it'll come early 2025 and then later delay it till late 2025.
Which,
what could possibly make you make such as us? what sort of game might make you think that they would do such a thing like that? That has cowboys in it.
I also want to give some flowers to Rockstar. They're getting enough flowers, but I want to send some more special flowers to Rockstar for just highlighting Lucia as their main character of their first trailer for this like watershed kind of moment. Like, we're told so often that nobody wants to play as female protagonists or women in games. Like, guys don't want to play as women in games. They don't sell as well when there's a woman on the box art and stuff like that. Like, and here comes GTA, one of the biggest franchises in the industry, and they're front and center first like shots of the trailers. Lucia, we see her in prison talking with I'm not even sure who the employee is there, but just like, it's just front and center on her through the whole trailer. It seems like she's the one calling the shots with her and the detagonist. Did I say that right, Tom? You're the editor. Detagonist.
I don't know what that word is.
Protagonist?
It's like when you have two of them, is what is it, a deuteragonist? I don't know, whatever the whatever it is.
Deuteragonist.
There you go.
I had no idea. I feel very embarrassed as an editor.
It seems like Lucia is the person who's calling all the shots. She's in charge. And like, that may just be the choices they made for this trailer, but that is a deliberate choice on Rockstar's part nonetheless. That they're saying, we're coming out, we're going to put a female character in this. And this may not even be their intention. But regardless, Rockstar is a leader in the industry for a reason. And this is, I'm so proud of Rockstar doing this and putting so much visibility on a woman in a GTA game. And my only concern is I hope that she's written well through the entire game. She seems amazing right now. She looks like a badass. I just hope that the storytelling continues all the way through. But Rockstar, kudos to you, because I am very excited to play as Lucia when that game drops in 2025.
Hell yeah. Now, speaking of GTA, which we're going to continue to do, is there anything at the Game Awards that can be shown off that could possibly top GTA 6 revealing? Like with
Half-Life 3.
I think short answer, no, but then also we're going to talk about it still. Half-Life 3 is the one that we all kind of jump to, but and like, I want that to happen, but they haven't been re-releasing Half-Life for the last 12 years. Like they don't.
And Half-Life, it's wild to say no, Half-Life 3 would not top it either, but it's true because also the end, well, like Half-Life 3 is this white whale and had been this white whale for so long. And then Half-Life Alyx came out and without going into details, basically said, hey, we're making Half-Life 3. And like as part of the game basically was just like, yeah, we're going to keep making Half-Life games now. And so now that we have that confirmation, the idea that Half-Life 3 is going to come at some point is like slightly less climactic, if that makes sense, even though it would still be extraordinarily exciting. I don't think it would match this, which is insane.
I don't think it'll
either. It's just crazy to say that.
Yeah, it's one of the, it's just the obvious one that most people are going to jump to. It's like, that would be huge. But I agree. I don't think it's going to be as big as GTA. I don't think anything is going to top GTA for a while. Like, I don't know.
I don't, I mean, if Half-Life had as much, and I say this lovingly, but like Half-Life has been, it's been kind of on in deep freeze for a while. Like it's, I mean, there was Half-Life Alyx, but if Half-Life hype were as alive and well as GTA hype is, I think Alyx would have moved a lot more headsets. And that's, you know, like everyone I know is like, yeah, it's one of the best VR experiences you can possibly have. But it, you know, the name brand and the desire to go back into that universe didn't, you know, it appealed big time to a lot of people who already knew what they were in for. But there's also like, I don't know.
Oh, it's not bringing in new audiences.
Yeah. Half-Life 2 was what, 2007?
Oh man.
Yeah. It's been a minute, you know, like they don't keep like coming back and being like, hey, they've given it a fresh coat of paint periodically, but they haven't constantly kind of been ringing that bell. There hasn't been like a massive persistent online component. I mean, there's Counter-Strike, but that's, you know what I'm talking about, but like, you know, there hasn't been Half-Life Online that's like constantly attracting new people. Again, like I was talking to Rebecca Valentine on our news team, and she's telling me that like on, I think it was on like earnings calls, like without fail, every quarter GTA 5 sells another 5 million units. Yep. And it's just like, the game is, it doesn't get newer. I mean, it does, they update it, but like, it's also, it's still GTA 5. Like people rebuy that game. People, it's some people's first game. Enough people are like, they know sort of what they're in for. They buy their first console in 10 years. They're like, hell yeah, I want to steal cars. There it is. You know, Half-Life doesn't quite have that same, I don't know, that same appeal.
In a world where Call of Duty is usually the best-selling game every year, just because of its sheer just numbers it does with the general audience, Grand Theft Auto is one of those few games that cuts through on its release years and takes that from Call of Duty. And so it's,
I anticipate
that happening again.
Like, it's very nice of Rockstar to give this much advance notice, because I imagine a lot of games are like, there's going to be people like diving out of the way of this thing. Like, I'm so excited to see what stupid little game doesn't set its daylight savings time calendar or whatever and accidentally releases the same week as, you know, as GTA. Like that, what is it? That Lego 2K Racers game that dropped like a week after Zelda. And I feel like it was just crickets on that front. And it's like, again, they probably could have capitalized on the fact that everyone's posting videos of people building wacky contraptions in Zelda and been like, hey, we got a car game where you can do that. It's about Legos. But they didn't. And I don't know. Now it's on PlayStation Plus next month or whatever.
GTA Online is definitely sort of like the silent killer in this, right? Because like people, the joke is like people have been playing Skyrim forever on every platform. But GTA Online just like you said, has just been getting new fans constantly, constantly, constantly for years. And like even Elder Scrolls 6, we were talking about like maybe that could get some hype. But if you look, the Elder Scrolls 6 trailer from 5 years ago did 17 million, right? Mm. So it's again, we're talking about orders of magnitude bigger here. It's really insane.
Yeah. I mean, GTA, in addition to the GTA Online, there was the player run RP servers that were going on, which is, that's just community driven. Like that is community making the game, giving the game more legs every time. Like it's Rockstar, just they're sitting on a gold mine. They know.
Brian and I made friends with a biker gang in GTA who were like really serious into it. There's this dude, Dirty Worka, who's just like, we uh we did like a live stream with them and at Rockstar, and it was bizarre because they were like, yeah, we're like a real gang. We have like initiations, we have rules. You can't like carry a bazooka around. You got to use like realistic biker stuff. They all like, you know, ride their bikes in formation. It's like amazing. They're like super committed to it. And it's just, you know, yeah, you don't have that. I mean, you have, you know, guilds and stuff, but I think there's the fact that GTA is like sort of close enough to real life. Like it's an MMORPG. GTA Online is that fantasy, you know, mm-hmm. ultimate fit, but you're not being a wizard. You're being like a dude who has a yacht, you know. It's like it's kind of
flying
like
planes for fun. Like,
yeah, like it's sort of, you know, what if you, it's just sort of like the crime MMO, you know. And it's funny that I think plenty of people who play it would be like, no, I don't play MMOs, get the hell out of here. But it's like, you kind of do. If you've got like the James Bond car that jumps when you push down on the sticks and you fly around in that thing, like that's a pretty powerful item, and you might have spent some real world money on that.
What are cars in GTA but mounts in World of Warcraft or Final Fantasy?
That's fair. Yeah, Elder Scrolls 6, there was a time where I could see that being a massive reveal at the Game Awards. It's possible we get something. I sort of doubt it because Bethesda just came out and said that they're going to give Starfield the same amount of like the same kind of long tail support they gave Skyrim. Skyrim right. debuted at the Game Awards, I think, back when it was still on Spike TV. And it was like that.
Oh, wow.
This is a long time. Yeah. It was when I think they announced the release date in the trailer, but they hadn't shown anything. And it was like very much, it wasn't even like a tone piece like this. It was like a mural playing the Skyrim music and sort of teasing dragons. And everyone's like, whoa, dragons, 11, 11, 11, pre-order now. Okay. And then they, you know, showed off gameplay at E3. And Todd Howard was like, you see that mountain? You can climb that mountain. The fact that they showed us the flyover video for 6, and it's gotten traction, but it's, you know, it's not the same. It's not the same. It's not, you know, it's not GTA 6.
This is a fun challenge, actually, like trying to think of, I'd love to hear people's comments too, of like what would be bigger for them, like what they think would be bigger. Cause I'm trying to come up with something and I can't do it. Like, even if you like announced that Mario, Nathan Drake, and Master Chief were doing a crossover game together, I don't think that would beat this trailer. You know, like
they're getting their own GTA game.
Yeah, like I just don't know.
Mario has been arrested for murder. He's getting the death penalty. I don't know what you do there. The announcement of a new Switch, I feel like that could move the needle. But again, how many consoles have come out in the lifetime of us waiting for GTA 6?
Yeah,
too many.
Yeah, like this thing eclipses like console hype, which is wild. And it's also, we're probably gonna be playing this thing on PlayStation 7 at some point, because that's like, if 5 is anything to go on, this is the sort of long tail they have planned for this, and can't blame them. Bloodborne 2 would get me excited, but a lot of people do not give a shit about Bloodborne. So I think in my bubble, I'm like, everyone loves Bloodborne. It's like, who could forget that awesome, incredibly hard, dark, scary 2015 PS4 exclusive
that I mean
sold as well as it could for a really tough M-rated game on a single system.
I mean, so, you know, you bring up a good point, Max. Like, we know we're getting Elden Ring DLC eventually. Like, doesn't Elden Ring 2 like potentially have the potential to eclipse this down the road? I haven't looked at the Elden Ring trailer views and stuff in a while, but I know that one was big. Like, Elden Ring was a big one, so
it broke out. It broke out bigger than it should have, that's for sure. Or like than people expected.
Yeah,
yeah.
If they, so. I hope they let that one cook for a while, because that has potential to definitely have like, you know, Skyrim grade hype for sure. But the thing is, like, if you look at the number at the end of the game, like that's how many games that thing has had to sort of build that hype. And some, you know, some franchises cheat, like, I don't know, Far Cry or whatever, where they put out a game every year and a half. But like, you know, if like, I remember Skyrim came along and I was like, oh, it's the fifth game in the series. I played like sort of the last one, and there was one before that. And then it's like, how many people have played the Elder Scrolls 1, you know, like the, what is it?
They're all dead now, Max.
Yeah. I mean, that's like an old, that's an old game, you know, and no disrespect to it. But like, there's certain games where I think they were sort of very much building on that groundwork. But like, Yeah, I don't know. And then again, like this is also not the this is not the sixth GTA game. We've had like a bunch of other ones that didn't have numbers yes. attached, and it's that's every one of those, you know, kind of gets more people invested. Fortnite the movie. If they announced that, a lot of people would get excited. I think that might knock GTA out of like the trending Twitter topics for a minute, but probably I don't think it would last that long. And again, a movie is no, that's not the same hype levels.
Well, entertainment stuff does hit a different audience, I'll say, right? Like a lot of people go to the movie that don't play games or go to the movies that don't play games, right? And it would put it in a different realm, I guess, of like audience wise, but also, yeah, it's I don't know. It even that seems like we've had the Mario movie, we've had the Sonic movie, we just got the announcement of the Zelda movie recently, right? Halo has a TV show. Last of Us has a TV show. So like the idea of video games getting adapted right now is not this like flash moment necessarily.
No, it's kind of, we're just sort of waiting for the other shoe to drop on a lot of those. Like it's, and there's stuff yeah. that we've heard buzz about and some stuff that seems inevitable. And yeah, I mean, movies, the time it takes to make them, you know, I would put, you know, the announcement of GTA 6 on the same sort of, you know, pop cultural milestone scale as like, the announcement of like the Star Wars prequels.
The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of Podcast Beyond is brought to you by NordVPN, a great way to protect yourself online while also improving your overall experience while enjoying cyberspace. Are you tired of streaming shows, movies, or sporting events being unavailable in your region due to draconian restrictions that are based on completely arbitrary geographical boundaries in physical meat space? Well, switch your virtual location to a place where that's no longer an issue. The same goes for shopping. You can get the best possible deal on subscriptions, flights, hotels, and other goods and services like that from websites that like to play favorites with certain territories and currencies. Meanwhile, encrypted traffic protects your data from hackers, viruses, malware, phishing sites, and other harmful hitchhikers of the information superhighway. Though really, it's more of an information autobahn because there is no speed limit with NordVPN. It is the fastest VPN in the world, so there won't be any buffering or lagging, and it'll stop your ISP from throttling your bandwidth. Isn't that nice? One NordVPN account can be used across 6 devices, which is great. My wife has been using our account to watch all sorts of awful British reality TV shows that aren't available here, like Argument Island or Half Naked Idiots Fall in Love, and everyone's favorite, The Worst People Just Got Married. Let's hear them talk about it. Shows that are so bad they're blocked in our part of the world for our own good, but luckily, NordVPN allows her to trick the internet into thinking she's in the UK so she and her awful friends can shriek and howl and cackle at the TV while I'm trying to relax. I've been using my VPN too. You know what I've been using it for? None of your business. Yep, that's right. And thanks to NordVPN, my data is safely encrypted, all bundled up in a weighted security blanket of incomprehensibly complex math problems, and nobody can tell what it's doing under there. Data, you do your thing. I'll leave you alone. 1 month of NordVPN coverage costs less than a cup of coffee. Coffee can't protect you from cyber criminals unless you throw it at them or pour it on their computers, and you'll probably get in trouble for doing that. So get NordVPN instead. To get the best possible discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/pobeyond. That link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that is nordvpn.com/pobeyond. And now, back to the show.
Like, the fact that this thing that's been dormant for so long is suddenly coming back and a bunch of people who love it get really, they, like, lose their minds about it and it becomes this, like, crossover event. Those things have been sort of like that stuff doesn't happen so much anymore because anything that's like a viable, you know, franchise has been kind of strip mined. You know, we've kind of just, those things have all run dry in terms of hype as far as like, you know, getting things to really come back. Like we had, you know, we get like 3 Marvel movies a year. It's like, I mean, I'll get pretty excited when they bring the X-Men back, but it's also like, oh, they're making more Marvel movies. It's not the same as like a mm-hmm. big new thing happening that people have been waiting for that long. It's just weird to think about.
Do you think we're ever going to see a GTA TV show or movie? Like,
no,
we think that no,
no. I think Rockstar's. I mean, I could be wrong, but Rockstar was talking about that after the success of 3, and the whole sort of mission statement of the company was to try to make video games that are like a breakthrough entertainment medium. They want to reach people who don't play video games, and I think mission accomplished right there. I think they did it.
Yeah.
And it's bowing down to the other forms of entertainment to be like, oh, we made a Netflix show. It's like, no, man, like Netflix should try to be in GTA. Like, it's the other way around.
I could see them doing like video shorts and stuff as part of like their marketing campaign. That's a more cinematic. My words today, sorry, long flight yesterday. It's more cinematic, kind of leaning into their marketing campaign towards GTA 6 leading up to the release. I could see them doing something like that.
I mean, they just did. It got 70 million views overnight or whatever. Yeah. Like, that's it. That's the thing. Like,
I think I'm thinking like something that's kind of more serialized and kind of like other people's perspective living in the world of GTA 6, kind of like crazy stuff. Like, I don't know, maybe not.
I'm sure we'll get like some character pieces closer to launch. You know, like they explain that dude who's like watering his lawn in the Speedo in socks and sandals. Like, what's his deal? What's going on with him? That might also be just some random throwaway NPC, but I really hope he gives us missions and tells us things. I don't know. That's my favorite thing about watching trailers is like going back and being like, oh, this guy who I had to kick his ass, or he kept giving me missions every 10 minutes, or he's like my favorite character, or like, and there's, you know, it's a split second moment in a trailer you don't think anything of, and then you find out later it's like a key component, and you know, there's that man, there's the good, he's the guy's watering his lawn, he's got back tattoos, he's got like a little accountant's visor, he's got the old school tube socks, he's watering his lawn, definitely not mowing it, but can't wait to find more at some point in 2025. That is a long way away. Let's talk about The Last of Us. Tom, you've been very patient. I want to hear about No Return. This, you got to play it. What's the deal with this thing?
Yeah, poor No Return getting eaten alive by GTA as well.
Diminishing returns.
I don't know if you guys did you see that they released a trailer on Monday at 3 p.m. and then the trailer for GTA got leaked at like 3:01.
Oh.
It was like the perfect worst timing that could have happened. Anyway, yeah, I got to play No Return. I got to play Last of Us Part 2 Remastered, which is on PS5. You know, all the pretty sort of improvements in that regard. But I also just got to play the No Return mode, which is their roguelike mode. And I really enjoyed it. And I was kind of surprised by how in-depth it was. Like, I was expecting it to sort of just be some random encounters strung together, and that's about it. And it's not like crazy deep, but it is like an actual roguelike, which is pretty cool. You know, you can chase down build paths with new skills, you buy weapons from a shop between missions, and you upgrade your character and your weapons as you go, and then it culminates in a boss. It's pretty cool.
Does the characters kind of, because obviously we're getting more characters than just Ellie and Abby to play as this time.
Yeah, there are 10 playable characters.
Nice. Do the characters kind of all fit into kind of like archetypes or whatnot? So where like, you know, Dina plays like Ellie and like Manny plays like Abby or something like that.
Yeah, they don't have unique stats, but they do have, they all start with specific weapons and they start with specific sort of like skills or skill trees. Because the way it works is you start with one skill tree of like three skills or four skills. And then every other mission, if I remember correctly, you get to pick a mission. The mission you choose determines the next like skill tree you unlock. So Abby starts with melee, kind of melee focused skills that you can unlock and just running up and punching people. Ellie is a little bit more all around, more focused on crafting, if I remember correctly. The other character I got to play as, because you have to unlock them. Only Abby and Ellie are unlocked at the start. And then as you play as characters, you unlock the others. So I also got to play as Lev. And Lev starts with a bow and is more focused towards stealth and kind of sort of arrow crafting. And then, like, some of the others are, like, Yara. I mentioned this in my preview, but Yara also has Lev with her for every mission as, like, a companion character. And then they all, you know, like, Abby starts with, I think, One of them starts with a pistol. One of them starts with like a, you know, a long gun or whatever. Like they all have sort of little differences here and there. It's not so drastic that every one of them feels like a completely, you know, brand new sort of way to play, but it does push you towards a play style pretty forcefully. So if you want to go melee, you can pick Abby. And then if you start getting really good guns and really good gun skills, then you can just sort of pivot in the middle of the run to a different build. Yeah, it's neat in how it does that, where it's not super cut and dry, but also not like, you know, Hades depth of customization or whatever.
Now there are cosmetics you can unlock, right?
Yeah, you can unlock I think it's 3 skins per character, maybe. But you can unlock skins by playing as those characters, basically, and completing challenges as them.
It honestly, it sounds like a lot of fun. And I mean, fun is sort of always kind of a shaky word to use about The Last of Us, because it is typically more of just a harrowing, heartbreaking, gut-wrenching experience, in some cases, literally.
Speak for yourself. I have fun.
Okay. It's a real hoot. It's good. It's a great old time for the whole family.
Yeah.
A real blockbuster, a real brick chucker. But no, like, this feels like, you know, Resident Evil Mercenaries, or that's kind of the vibe I get from this.
Sure. Yeah. It's definitely like an arcade mode. Like in an interview with Naughty Dog, they talked about how this is like non-canon arcadey, right? Which they don't usually do with this sort of thing, but you can have these very silly situations. After every mission, you get a score based on like your gun accuracy, the kills you got, you know, the difficulty level you played on, the mods that popped up in the level. It literally grades you. It gives you a letter grade, and then you get a score and a letter grade for every mission. And then the final, if you complete the run, it gives you an overall thing. So it definitely is sort of just more, let's enjoy this, which is cool, because I think that the combat in Last of Us Part 2 is good enough to support that. Like, I think that the action and the stealth combat in that game is actually pretty intricate in its own right, and the campaign is so story focused that it doesn't necessarily feel like it always gives that combat like room to shine. Not saying the combat's bad in the campaign, it's just like there's a lot less of it. Like, I think it was, I can't remember which YouTuber did it, but you know, you can play through the entirety of the game if you're only doing the combat things, and if you do that, it takes like 3 hours to beat, right, the whole game. So the idea that they give you this vehicle to just sort of like actually explore that combat with new weapons, new characters, new skills, just sort of really experiment with a lot less consequence. I mean, obviously, if you die, you have to start over, but the runs are really, really short. They're only like 5 missions and 5 levels in the boss total, if you make it to the end. So there's not a lot of burden to sort of, you know, if you try something and it doesn't work and you can die, you just try again, you know.
Did you get the sense that they're going to be updating this or supporting it at all?
I don't know. I think it is ripe for that, right? You could very easily sort of do that thing, but I'm not sure. My vibe would be no, but I'm not basing that off of anything specific or any conversations I've had with people.
I mean, it's definitely like, it's a step towards a multiplayer mode. Like it's going that direction. Like that is, you know, that would also be presumably a non-canon experience with more emphasis on gameplay than, you know, telling a profound story. It's kind of funny to see this. This also, I know that, you know, a lot of people were really bummed that Part 2 didn't ship with the multiplayer mode, but, and this is, you know, a little bit, maybe too little too late, but it does feel like a really cool addition to, you know, throw into the PS5 version, which also, again, like, it's what, like a $10 upgrade if you already own it on PS4?
Yeah. It's very aggressively priced. It's really kind of pretty impressive, I think, the way they price it, especially because it's $50 base, but if you can buy the base game on sale on PS4 for like $20, and so you can really just get this for like $30 on a good day, usually.
Do you think Sony knows about this? Did they tell them that they were doing this? Because it feels,
I asked them directly, and yeah, I think that their intent was to get as many people in the door as they could, honestly.
Makes sense.
That's super smart.
You mentioned skill trees like popping up in between missions. What's the persistency between runs kind of look like for this one?
So there's challenges, which are, you know, as simple as play two encounters with Ellie and that will unlock Dina, right? Mm. It can be very, very simple. Or they can be, you know, Abby has this skill that you can unlock that heals her health, gives her health on melee hits. And if you get 50, if you heal 50 health in a single encounter with that ability, then you unlock a costume for her, right? And then there's other things like you sort of you unlock initially there's only two encounter types, which is one is just like waves of enemies come at you and you have to kill them, and then the other one is called, that one's called Assault, the other one's called Hunted, which Hunted just makes it so that, you know, it's very similar, but the enemies sort of know where you are and they're just trying to kill you and you're trying to survive for a certain amount of time. But there's two other encounters that you can unlock that I didn't get to play because you have to play a bit. You have to do some challenges to unlock them. But they kind of sound kind of cool. One of them is you have to protect an ally who's there. And they'll be attacked and you kind of have to make sure they survive. And the other one is that there's a safe in a room somewhere and you have to get to and open the safe before a certain time runs out. So they're trying to play with, you know, the structure a little bit in that regard. And then you can also unlock more bosses. You start with one and there's six total. You can unlock these things called dead drops where you put items into a bin and then you get a bonus later. I can't remember what they're called. Not bargains. I can't remember the exact word, but there's a thing where like a challenge will pop up mid-mission and be like, hey, if you can kill three people really quickly in a row, you'll get an extra sort of crafting material or something
That sounds like it has pretty good hooks. You know, like,
yeah, and all that stuff. All that stuff gets unlocked slowly, right? Like that, it all sort of unlocks over time, and so that's the persistence. Run to run, actually, basically, the only thing that will change in game is those sorts of modes and things, and then what characters you're using. You don't have like persistent health upgrades like Hades or anything, but the runs are so short that you don't really need that sort of thing necessarily.
You talked a little bit about mods in your preview, which sounds fascinating. And horrible at the same time.
Yeah, there's a mod that just makes all the zombies invisible or all the enemies invisible. Oh, like literally invisible, like only killed them because I saw the dust from their footsteps invisible. It's nuts. There's another one that is when you kill enemies, they drop pipe bombs. There's another one that just makes like spore clouds rain from the sky. There's one that puts photo mode filters over everything.
That's so annoying and I love it. Like that feels like just old cheat code logic, like just completely just throwing weird stuff at you and seeing what happens.
Yeah, it's super just embracing the silliness of it. And there's good mods too, right? There's ones that give you certain things or give bonuses. It's not all bad. But if you complete a mission with the mods, you can see that a mission has mods before you go into it. And if you complete a mission with negative mods, you get more rewards for completing that mission. So there's some incentive there to kind of get out of your comfort zone a little bit.
Before we go, last week we announced our competition to the Game Awards was going to be the first annual Beyoncés.
The Beyoncés.
Yeah, which was partially a bunch of stuff pending. We arbitrarily picked out and nominated. We actually got some results. Jada, can we hear the winners?
Yeah, we definitely can. All right. So very first up was category was video game food we wanted to actually eat the most. The winner in this category was the food in Pizza Possum. Pizza Possum is our champion, our award winner. So many good foods to eat. Lots of pizzas, lots of cheeses, Danishes.
I think a lot of people just saw pizza on the options and just voted for pizza, even though you eat a lot of other stuff in there.
Huge upset for Pizza Tower.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not on PS5. They gotta bring that over here.
Yep. Next up was for things that killed us the most. And the winner was our reflexes for Ghost Runner 2 and any other game where your reflexes would have killed you. That's what killed us the most in 2023. So congratulations to everybody out there. This is an award for everybody in the audience. We all won this one because we all died a bunch to our own reflexes and missing the timing on a parry or a block or a dash. Or whatever.
Fair enough. Were there any honorable mentions in there?
Let's see. I'm gonna pull some closer because let's see. We actually Gravity for Fall Guys and other games where you can fall off. Let's see. You know, surprisingly, the little kamikaze chickens did not even didn't put up as much of a fight.
Maybe we just specifically suck against those things. I don't know.
Let's see. Other ones were the spawn of Ogdo got written in from Star Wars Jedi Survivor.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, that guy. Yes. That guy's a jerk.
Okay, now moving on to the category for most bizarre ability or spell. That winner is going to be the Thanksgiving fatality for Mortal Kombat 1.
Oh my goodness.
Congratulations, NetherRealm, for making us literally toss our food. I was going to say another word.
Controversially priced fatality, but a succulent, delicious, nourishing one nonetheless.
Yes, and our second place was the was Greece, Baldur's Gate 3. So yes. I was really, really rooting for Greece to win.
Gotta have Greece. You know, it's gotta have one Greece. Of the best substances of gaming in 2023.
Let's see. Best dressed. Our winner here, we have a tie between Baldur's Gate 3 and Lies of P, each with 25% of the votes.
Nice. So
congratulations to them. They're equally spiffy and dapper, as they like to say. And yeah, I've got a couple write-ins on that one for Destiny 2 as well as Spider-Man 2. Let's see. What is liquid? This is, I know, the category a lot of you were waiting on. This is a big one for us. The winner was a write-in category. Water, almost every game. So what is liquid? Water.
Shout out to our viewers who have the deepest ocean of imagination. Robbed us of Greece.
Greece was in second place. Sorry. Greece was in third place with 21.4% of the votes. Second place, Max, I think you'll be happy to this, was Gollum's wet hair / head.
Okay. Which is Greece. It's just an uncredited Greece role, I guess. All right, what else we got there, real quick?
Tom's expression is like,
I'm just trying to think. Well, Greece aren't fats like hydrophobic? Wouldn't that Greece be the least?
Only the problematic ones.
All right, following up our category of what is liquid, we've got the category for most sand. And our winner here with 43.8% of the votes was Star Wars Jedi Survivor. You know, Jedha, whole planet of sand, got to go through a sandstorm and everything. There's a lot of sand.
There was a whole man of sand in the Spider-Man.
There's true. Spider-Man actually. Wait, sorry. Did I read that wrong? I take that back. I did read that wrong. They're both blues, and I looked at the wrong blue. Spider-Man is actually the winner. Sorry. I pulled Steve Harvey there. Spider-Man 2 is actually the winner for most sand, with second place being Assassin's Creed Mirage. All right. This is my favorite category that we put together. The bluest character that we got to see this year. Our winner here is a three-way tie, each with 20% of the votes. Bluey from Bluey the Game. The Na'vi from Avatar Frontiers of Pandora. And Sonic the Hedgehog. So congratulations to our three winners. You three all
real upset there.
Bluest characters.
It's a real blue person group that won that one.
Yeah.
Avatar's not out yet. What if they're green in the game? We don't know.
Well, we've seen trailers. They look pretty blue to me. Brian's $5 RoboCop skin managed to also get 13.3% of the votes. So kudos to Brian and his $5 microtransaction blue RoboCop skin. And finally, our final category, the best category, the most well thought out category with the most choices that we came up with, the best Avatar game. Our winner here is Avatar Frontiers of Pandora. But a very close second, the Smurfs 2, Prisoners of the Green Stone, because they are just tiny avatars, if you think about it. They're really just tiny avatars. Don't think too hard about it, people. That's what it is. And also, we had a write-in with almost 6% of the votes. Trick question, there is no best Avatar game. But that is our first ever Beyond Says.
Really? I think awards. That awards ceremony should get some awards itself for being such a good one.
Thank you.
Thank you to everybody who participated, especially the person who kept writing in Hades stuff, even though that game came out 3 years ago. I think it should win more awards. Maybe they'll make another one someday and show us gameplay from it later this week, perhaps at the Game Awards, which are kicking off at 4:30 p.m. Pacific. We got a pre-show going on here at IGN, all the various places where IGN does its stuff. Join us for that. The actual show kicks off at 5. We'll have a post-show afterwards showing off some cool new stuff in there as well. And on that note, we'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us, everybody, and beyond.
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 Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.